So, Sue, good to have a chance to catch up with you. Can you remind us, when did your glass workshop first open?
Well, it first opened in March 2014, which is when I registered. We'd done a bit of renovation so that I could start working, and we moved over here definitively then as well. So it was a good opportunity to just go for it.
And can you also explain, there's often a bit of confusion here, the difference between glass blowing and what you do, which is glass fusion?
So, glass blowing is when you have a furnace and it runs, depending on the kind of glass you're using, about 1100 degrees Celsius. So, it's very, very hot and it runs all the time. And you melt the glass in the evening, for example, and the next day it's ready to use. And you take it out with a long pipe and you shape it by hand. And it's a kind of centrifugal thing, but horizontal, a bit like pottery, but on the horizontal. But you can't touch the glass. So you're shaping with tools and things. You actually manipulate the glass and you blow it, blow bubbles, and everything starts from a round shape. And the furnace has to run 24/7. So you have to make, then sell, and make and sell, make and sell.
And with glass
Yes.
fusion?
Glass fusion or fusing is
Fusing, rather.
you start with mainly flat pieces of glass, so sheets of glass, in fact, and you can cut it up, assemble it, and then you put it in a kiln, and you close the kiln, turn the programmer on, turn the kiln on, and it will heat up and cool down. And then it will be fused. So it's not so hands-on in the hot stage, and you have to leave it and see what happens. So even if you know roughly what you're doing, there's always the chance for some surprises, and usually they're nice ones.
That's good.
Although sometimes things can happen, like you might find that there's a crack. There's usually a reason for it, so you have to find out why.
So tell us about the courses that you run. Does the length depend on the piece being made?
To a certain degree, I mainly run courses of an afternoon where people come and have a go at making something, and I usually suggest coasters because they're an excellent vehicle for learning the cutting techniques, learning about the glass, learning about decorating, designing. And what I find is that some people come here saying that they aren't artistic and they haven't got, they haven't got those sort of skills. But actually, this is a really good way of creating something yourself, which comes out really effective. And you can use it, and you can take them home, or you can give them away. But you can take them home and use them, put your cup of tea or your glass of wine, and it's great fun. And I've done, I don't know how many coasters classes, and I'm still not bored because they're all different,
That's
all the
lovely.
outcomes are different.
So it could be like an afternoon, or it could be over a
Yeah,
few
I mean,
days then.
some there's if somebody wanted to make, for example, a panel or a something to put on the wall is a bit larger, then I can do that over a period of days. I did one a few years ago for two people over 3 days, and they also managed to get some bits and bobs in. I can't really have more than two people doing larger pieces because of the size of the kiln. And also, sometimes you fire the piece once and then you refire it, so you can keep firing it until you've got the effect that you want.
So what's the
So that
maximum
allows.
number of people that you could?
Well, I have actually done some courses for groups of 8 kids. So I have, if I just describe the workshop, I've got like a central crate with the plants on, and then 4 tables around that crate, and I can have 2 people at each bench if they're smallish, and if they have a teacher with them. But normally, it's 4 people is the maximum. And that's for an afternoon. But it could be for 3 or 4 days if they were making smaller pieces or we kind of rotated. When people come in, I always start off with a kind of health and safety induction because there are certain things that are plainly obvious that you shouldn't do, but it's just useful to have that reminder. And one thing is like trying to sweep the work surface with your hand. I was just making, you can probably hear that. sweeping the work surface with your hand when you've got little bits of glass is not a good idea. So I have dustpans and brushes all around. And we occasionally have when people are taking things to the kiln, you know, they've got them carefully balanced on a sheet of glass and whoops. But, you know, there's always a way around it.
And what about with children? Do you run a course for children?
Not specifically, but children can come from the age
of... you had a little group.
Yeah, I mean, I can do that. And usually that's by special request by some kind of association or educational establishment that has children who they're organising activities for children. So I have done that.
So I think we've probably talked about this before because I asked you, isn't it? I think it's from like age of 8, probably,
yes,
isn't it?
Yeah.
When they're a little bit more...
When they're a little bit stronger, a bit taller. And like I was saying, I can raise and lower the height of the desk. And the other thing is the attention span. So a long afternoon for a very small child is not ideal. But I do have glass paints for younger children, but I can gear things specifically around them. I actually did some work with a school in Correll a few years ago when they had the tap. So I used to go in and help create madness and mayhem with glass paints over there. And they all came here and did a project as well. So mainly it's adults, but and young teenagers or kids from 10 years old.
Excellent. So when, with all this going on, when do you have time to create your own pieces?
Well, the winter's quieter, so January, February, March is a good time to do it, although actually that is one time when we sometimes go away, so can't do anything. But and in between various projects, because I have things that I know sell well, so I remake stock of those, and if I get a particular idea that I want to try out, I might stick that in with something else that's doing. So it's good all year round, really.
And you work on commissions, I believe.
Yes, yeah. I've done a few larger scale projects. The last one was a door, which was for a customer in St Ives in Cornwall.
Wow.
But I've done recently, I've got a few commissions on at the moment. I did a number of plates for a local cafe bar, and also I've got a wedding present to do and some large coasters for bedside table.
Well, so that's good because that keeps the income.
Yeah, it keeps the income, and it also, I quite like, having had some experience of working as a designer in a glass factory, I quite like having the constraints of, say, particularly for these plates, they've got to be for food, so you've got to think about the surface staying smooth. The glass, the price is a thing, so you can't make them too expensive. Texture, all sorts of things that come in.
Sort of rein you in a little bit.
Yeah, rein you in, but I quite like sort of working within those structures. Boundaries. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I believe also now you've diversified in that you've opened up some rooms here for Chambre d'Hôte.
Yes, that's correct.
So how did that come about?
Well, it came about partly as a sort of idea of having accommodation for people who can do courses, and partly as an idea as it's a good means of creating an income and bringing people to the village. So we started that in 2015 properly, and then with just one room, and then I think that was at the time when the lake was emptied. So that was quite interesting. And then after that, we added another room, having created a shower room and done extensive renovations. A lot of people with houses in Brittany will know that there's a lot of thick walls and things like that to negotiate when you're trying to put piping and all sorts of things in. So that was a challenge, but it was also a really nice project, and it's a lovely shower room, so people have got a lovely room.
So I believe that's Ian's particular...
Yeah, it's his business and so he deals with a lot of that. I help with the housework, and I'm kind of like front of house on breakfast. We're doing table d'hôte a lot more now, so... Particularly since the COVID pandemic, people wanted, well, it's difficult to find restaurants, and people wanted to kind of stay where they were staying and eat. And so that's carried on.
Well, I have to say, whatever you Ian was up making last time, I called round. It smelled absolutely delicious.
Yeah, he's a very good cook, which is great. Not so good for my waistline, but we have lots of cyclists and walkers, and so they really, well, most people really enjoy what he makes. So.
Where do they, your clientele for that predominantly come from? Are they French?
Usually.
French, yeah. Right.
But we have others. There's another company that does bike tours, so we get some of their people who are often British or American. But we mainly have French people, but we've had Irish, German recently, Belgian, Dutch, Italian, Spanish, you know, all
excellent.
European.
Very international.
So it is very international.
Yes,
so
that's brilliant.
So it's fascinating, and they like to take souvenirs home with them, which is also great for me. So it works really well.
It's working really, yeah. So that's very good. Well, thank you very much for your time, and I it's brilliant that you are working in tandem together.
Yeah,
I mean,
we're
I do see
team.
Bicycles around it, but I think you're you've got your team worked out.
Yeah, we have. Yeah, so it works really well.
Thank you, Sue, for your time.
Thank you.